Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, today we are going to attack a subject, really that probably seems outside of the realm of reality, and that is, what is the perfect life? And I start this conversation off, and it's going to be a long one, but I start this conversation off just retroing back to what I've done for the last 35 years. I've been on the radio station, I've been on TV, I've been doing live seminars, trying to help people understand something that I was lucky enough to understand at 34 years of age. 2.5 years after I started investing in real estate at 34 years of age, I had accumulated enough single-family rental properties to replace my earned income, that which I made W-2 income, with passive streams of income, which then gave me the ability to decide, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? It was that freedom that allowed me to start Lifestyles Unlimited. It was that freedom that allowed me to go on and buy millions and millions and millions of dollars of real estate to produce millions of dollars of income for me. It's all starts with the fact that I had to buy my life back from corporate America. I was working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I did that for 12 years straight. And at some point, I just got to where I didn't want to do it anymore. Now, for the last 35 years, 36 now, I've been talking to people here, you, about not wanting to do that either. I've brought this point up forever about not wanting to live a life of quiet desperation. Well, somebody came up to me the other day and said something I thought was a really ridiculous statement. On the surface, it may sound okay, but underneath, I thought about it for a while, and then I realized it was really crazy statement. And the statement was, well, people don't want to retire anymore, Del. That's not what the clientele out there really wants. I go, what do you mean they don't want to retire? I didn't say anything at the point. I just let the statement lie with the weight that it needed to be a dead dog laying on the couch. The bottom line is that everybody wants their life back from corporate America. Not because you don't like what you're doing. Maybe you do like what you're doing. Maybe you want to continue doing what you're doing. But nobody likes to live under the stress every day of being required to do exactly the same thing, to get up and go to work and drive to work and go in there and listen to the boss. And nowadays, a lot of people don't even drive in, so it's a little bit better probably. But just that constant ridicule, the job's not done well enough, it's not getting us where we need to be, the goals are not being met. And even if you are, that's what really got me more than anything, is even when we did meet the goals, it was never enough. Enough is never enough in corporate America because they're always trying to hit new levels, new highs, more profit, more this, that, and whatever. And it just, it's not consistent with a quality life. You just can't get up and live under that kind of stress each and every day. Now, let's go back to the point, well, our clientele, well, whoever our clientele is, one of the points that is being considered is that I'm now almost 35 years, 36 years into this, is that has our clientele shifted? Has it shifted to younger people? Because most people my age now are either retired or they're dead, one of the two. So it's kind of like I'm talking to myself when we're talking to old people. So they're saying, well, now you're talking to younger people. What I want to get across to you is I was talking to younger people when I was 34 years old. I was talking to younger people when I was 40. I was talking to younger people when I was 45. And I was talking to them when I was 50. And the reality is every single one of those age groups hated the fact that they had to get up and go to work every day, hated the fact that they had a boss that didn't respect who they were and what they contributed. Everybody lives under that problem and doesn't like it. It doesn't matter what age you are. Now, let's go and fast forward to the situation today, which may be relevant. And that is, our society has become a socialist society. You hear it every day. The democratic socialist, whatever, people society are out there voting people in. And what are they doing? What they're saying is the young people of today do not have the education or the intelligence to figure out how to get ahead in our society. No, what they're saying is it's too hard to get ahead in our society. It's not available to get ahead in our society. And the reality is, people, that's just not true. I've got kids. I've got them in that age group. And they just have never suffered. They don't know what my grandparents went through where they could barely even make ends meet. They don't know what my parents went through where they went through a similar issue but not as bad as the Great Depression. These kids have no idea what it means. But they will. They will grow up and they will vote in all these socialists and they will take away everything. And what you'll find out is they'll have nothing. There's going to be an entire generation that's going to fall for this socialist crap. And none of them are going to go out and try to make anything of themselves. And they're going to end up in a worse situation to where they live a quiet stream of desperation that they can no longer even talk about, because the socialists will say, if you really want to be something and have something, then you're some type of an egomaniac capitalist, you know, that wants to be out there stealing from everybody else so they can be rich. That's where they're going with this kind of conversation, guys. And young people, understand this. The more you win that argument, the less you end up with in life. You have to decide. Now, if this is the way the world's going, where fewer and fewer people are going to make things happen because AI is going to take over. In fact, I have a whole radio show I'm going to do on AI in the future here. If the world is going to be taken over with AI and people are going to do less and less and less, the question is, what are you going to have? What safety valves will you have to fall back on? And even worse than that, how do you ever dream to get rich? How do you ever dream to have something nice if what they're saying is we're going to downsize everybody? We're all going to be equal. We're all going to be poor. That's what it's going to come down to. Now, I'm not trying to put on a political conversation here. In fact, even more so, I would like to drive it away from the political conversation to the reality conversation. Because we have given our kids no hope to get ahead, because you've taught them nothing, because they've had it easy, because you let them live with you until they're 35 years old, you let them school for 4, 6, 8, 12 years. I saw there was a congressman just got voted in who's been in school for 12 years, never had a job, works at like a coffee shop, and now they're going to be a congressman. How can this be? Well, it's happening. But the reality is, the reason it is going to be is because all of the younger generation out there, all is a bad word, let's let all go. A percentage of the younger generation out there has no confidence that they could ever be anything. And so they've just given up, thrown their arms in the air and said, hey, I'd rather live in a socialist country where I don't have to compete, because look at me. And really, guys, look at these people. Just look at them. I'm not going to tell you anything to point out, but you can point them out. You can look at them and tell who they are. They have no respect for themselves, the way they look, the way they act, the way they are around people, the way they are in public. So you have this group of people. So somebody said, this is not our clientele. It is our clientele. My clientele is the people that want to change their lives, that want to be financially free and have the ability to do what they want, when they want, with whomever they want, wherever they want, and have enough money to afford to do it. That's my clientele. I guarantee you, there's young people out there that want that very same thing. There are middle-aged people that actually are craving that thing. There are older than middle-aged or upper middle-aged people that are dying for that thing. And then there's old people that are just dying and will never have it. That's the sad story about who the clientele really is. The clientele is you. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about how do you obtain financial freedom and what does it look like, right? So, you know, someone brought up the idea that the word retire is a bad word to use in this day and age because people don't retire. People nowadays just stop working, whatever it is, they work from home or they have a side gig or they have multiple side gigs or whatever. All that set aside, the bottom line is that there are people out there right now that are not comfortable, not happy with where they're at in life. And if they had streams of passive income coming in, that would be well relieved. Yes, it would. But we're going to talk about today some other things here, which is basically the question is what would perfect life look like? What if you could have a perfect life? What would it look like? And what would it take to do that? Is the conversation we want to have. So as opposed to living a life of quiet desperation, what does the other side look like? What does it feel like? And then we'll throw in there, you know, how do you get there, so on and so forth type of thing. But the bottom line is, more importantly, is that do you even know what it looks like? Have you even thought about what a perfect life would look like? Now, before I get to that, I've got a seminar coming up here you can see me at. Now, I'm going to share with you, this may be the last seminar I do this year, and it may possibly be the last seminar I ever do, but it's definitely looking like it's going to be the last one I do this year. And this seminar is coming up here in Houston on the 11th and 12th of July. So you're not going to want to miss out on this. Now, there's a case study on Friday night where you get to, you know, meet with us and network and get to meet some members, and they'll tell their stories and so forth. It's just, you know, a loosening up of everything and an opportunity to feel like you belong. And then on Saturday, and that's a Friday night. You know, generally we do that. Then the people go out to eat and or cocktails or just network generally. Then on Saturday and Sunday, I teach for 2 days. And when you come out of Saturday and Sunday, you should be able to evaluate, negotiate, contract, close, purchase, finance, rehab, and operate real estate deals. We have both single family and multifamily in there that are available. So you're going to get a lot of information. But more importantly, if it means anything to you, I'm the guy that started all this. I'm the guy that has taught all these other people to do all this. And I have the base core of information that's been building up now for the last 36 years. And as I get older, I don't have the time and the energy to go out there and keep replicating the services. I have other people that will do that, will have been doing it for years, but my contribution to it has to come to a close at some point. So if you do not want to miss out, if you want to see me before I take the hiatus to the old world, you're going to want to come July 10th, 11th, and 12th. And that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so you can get a hotel room here if you're out of city. If you just want to show 2 days, come Saturday and Sunday. But if you can, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Friday night. In other words, come in Friday night so you can come Friday night thing. Stay overnight, then get up early to come Saturday and Sunday, which is really the right way to do it. You don't want to fly in on Saturday. You won't get there for the beginning. So you really need to come in the night before anyway, right? So having said that, let's talk about what does this perfect life look like. And, you know, we're talking about the average person has to get up and go to work every day. That's the beginning to the end of it all. But there's more than just that. When you get up and go to work every day, you give up your life in every other aspect and means that there is. You give it up on the way your time is spent. You give it up on your personal and interpersonal connections because it really dictates who and where you can speak to people and be with people. It steps in and messes with your hobbies and your contributions to society. Everything that you would do to be important, to be who you are, to be different, to not just be another human being walking around the world. I was at a restaurant last night and there was a soccer game on and you got all these soccer people. And when it was, we walked outside and three or four or five fat guys, and I'm not being mean, pejoratively maybe, but not mean, fat guys pulled out cigarettes. Nobody smokes anymore. So I don't know where these guys came from, but nobody, but they have to go outside because you can't smoke inside anymore. Pulled out a cigarette and guy went in his car and got a six pack of beer and gave everybody a beer. So there it is. there's your aspirations in life. Let's go to a bar. Let's get drunk and watch soccer. Okay, that's fine. You're a soccer fan. Then let's go outside on the sidewalk and get drunk and smoke cigarettes. There's your aspiration, because really that's all you've got time for. You've got no time to have developed any type of skills. You have no hobbies. You have no interpersonal relationships that are any deeper than the people you work with or hang out from high school with that are your smoking, drinking buddies, you know. That's fine. That's perfectly fine to be who you are and do what you like to do. But what I'm saying to you is that you're never going to have much doing that. You're never going to be much doing that. You can see at an early age, even in their late 30s, early 40s, whatever they were, they're already like 300 pounds. I mean, maybe not, maybe 250. Just overweight, out of shape. They're not any kind of sports. They're not any kind of activities. They don't work out. They don't watch their diet. They don't have any girls around them. It's all guys. And you just look at them, and I sat there with almost sadness. My wife, too, she looked at him like, my gosh, would anybody date these guys? It's just sad to see people that don't have anything going for them, that are not happy. And you say, well, they were drinking. Weren't they happy? Yeah, they're that kind of, I'm drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, happy. That's the highest level of expectation I'm ever going to reach in life. So as we go into this and we say, you know, this could sound arrogant to put other people in a position of not having what you want. Okay, fine. Let's go with that. Let's just ask ourselves, how long can they live this life and it still be happy? Where in your life do you start to realize that you're getting up every day and going to work and getting up every day and going to work? You're now 35, 40 years of age. You've just hit that age where you're not young and lean and happy and running off the side of cliffs and diving in lakes and water skiing every day and jogging and or climbing cliffs. You're not doing all that stuff. You're getting up and going to work. Maybe you drive a truck. Maybe you work as a roofer. Maybe you work as a manager in a grocery store. You know, you've got some kind of white-collar job. But whether you realize it or not, you're already stuck. You're already living a life of quiet desperation. And maybe you're just on the edge of it. In other words, you don't really feel like you're trapped until you've been trapped long enough to realize you can't get out of being trapped. That's the difference. So you're stuck, but you don't know it yet. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Want to build income without a second job? Learn how real estate investing can help you create extra income one step at a time with Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing what would a perfect life look like. And if you were able to listen to what I say, pick up the information, go out there, take action, and create enough passive income to replace your earned income, what could your life look like and what would you do to get there? And that's what we're going to go next. Before we do that, I just want to remind everybody again, if you're just tuning in, this is a seminar coming up that I'm doing July 10th, 11th, and 12th. It's going to be Friday night at 10. Friday night in the evening will be a case study where you'll meet members and hear their stories and network. then Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and 12th of July. It's going to be probably my last seminar this year. So you don't want to miss out on it. If you've, you know, listened to me for years and years and years, you said, okay, you know, I've got 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, and I'm not done this yet. It's time, because there's not going to be any more chances. You want to get in and get the seminar from me, learn it from the guy who created it, who's mentored thousands of people for 36 years. You want to get in there, speak with me, work with me. Now's the time to do it. So let's go ahead and get started on this conversation. I asked AI, what would a perfect life look like? And this is kind of recital that I got back from it. A perfect life does not look like flawless, stress-free movie. Instead, it's a deeply subjective state of sustained alignment, purpose, and inner peace, where your daily actions match your truest values. Because perfection is an illusion. Psychological framework and human experiences suggest that ideal life balances several core pillars. All right. Good word salad. We like those kinds of things. We get those all the time. What does it basically mean? Well, it basically means that you're never going to have a perfect life. Stuff is going to come up. Life's going to throw stuff at you. And the quality of your life is how you deal with the stuff that life throws at you. We all know that's true. Well, those of us who have lived long enough to know that's true. You know, stuff's going to come up. However, being prepared to deal with that and starting with a core is really important. Many, many people don't have a core. They don't have a starting point. And so when there was an old saying a long time ago, see if I can remember, it's a very good saying. It says, if you don't plan for success, you're planning for failure. If you don't plan your life, someone else will. Those kinds of statements are so true. You're either going to be out there making things happen or you're not going to be out there making things happen. It's up to you. Either you decide or someone else will. So we start out here and it talks about, here's all the things that you need to balance in your life. It talks about autonomy and time freedom. Very important. Design your day. Choosing exactly how you spend your waking hours is probably the most important gift, privilege, right, whatever you want to call it, that is the most important thing you have in your life. Say, well, maybe I believe God's bigger. Okay, well, how do you spend your time? Do you honor your God? If you don't honor your God, then how important is God? Well, I think that fitness is most important because if I'm not healthy, then my family, I'm a draw on my family. Well, do you honor your body? Do you provide it time to be fit? Do you watch your diet? Do you have the time to watch your diet, right? Well, I believe that my relationships are more important. You know, your physical, I don't care what I look like. My love with my wife and my kids, okay. Do you honor your love with your wife and your kids? Do you have the time to spend with your wife and kids? Now, if any of these questions are no, then you're living a life of quiet desperation. You're not living in alignment with the principles that are core to you. Your core principles that you believe to be important are not being adhered to. So you're living in, by definition, a life of quiet desperation, desperately wanting to do something that you're not doing. That's quiet desperation. You are desperately wanting to do something. You get up today, what do you want to do? I want to go work out. I want to go play my guitar. I want to go in the garage and play with my tools. I want to go out here and feed my fish. I want to go over here and play with my dogs. I want to walk my animals. I want to spend time with my wife. I want to take her to a nice dinner. We want to go out with our friends. We want to see, make some phone calls to our family, to our kids, to our grandkids. What do we want to do? Where do you want to spend your time? Time is the only thing God has taken away. That's it. You have no control of time. You only have so many hours on this earth, and then you're gone. If you don't use them, you are abusing them. So what does financial freedom mean? First and most important, it means the control of your time. What are you choosing to use your time to do? If you get up, I just take a piece of paper, write it down, or do it on your phone, on a notepad. From 8 to 9, let's start at 6 to 7, what am I doing? I'm still sleeping, but what are you doing from 7 to 8? What are you doing from 8 to 9? What are you doing from 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 1? Just write it down. Do it for a week. And then go back and go, that is, what percentage of all that crap is something I really want to do? Is that really where you want your time spent, is doing that kind of stuff? Or is there something more important that would mean more to you, mean more to your family, mean more to your God, mean more to your health, mean more to your fitness, mean more to fun? What should you be doing? What could you be doing if you weren't busy pushing the rock up the hill? That's why financial freedom is so important, because if you have to spend the majority of your day pushing the rock and the rest of your day being tired from pushing the rock, then the question is, how do you ever get anywhere? Number two, financial baseline, having enough wealth to eliminate survival anxiety. So this isn't even going as far as I'm saying having enough money to go do the things you want to do, but just having enough money to not live under the anxiety that something may go wrong. You may go broke. You can't pay for this. You're one medical emergency away from broke. You're one automobile problem away from broke. You're one job elimination away from broke. Do you want to live that way? That financial baseline of just constant struggle? That's what I'm talking against. This is what's wrong with your life. And how you can make it better is replace your income with passive income. Now, does that mean you don't want to work anymore? No, it doesn't mean that. Does that not mean you might have something you really like doing? Yes, go do it. But go do it not under the stress and the struggle of knowing that someday they could take it away from you. The next one is work on alignment. Engage only in projects that ignite your curiosity. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I wish I would have known that one last night when I was taking the trash out. That sure didn't ignite my curiosity. But there I am, after we get back from a beautiful dinner out, taking the trash cans out. So, well, Dale, you got to take the trash cans out. Of course you do. And so there's those moments. But you set it up to where, hey, I was able to, on a Monday night, go out with my wife, have a great dinner, go to a sporting event. We went to watch a soccer game. Enjoyed a bunch of people having a great time doing it. Came home, and then late at night, I took the trash cans out. And, of course, my dogs go with me, so they get a little leg stretching. They like it. They get out of their kennel, and they get to go walk. So they like it. So it actually becomes a little bit of time spent with my animals, a little love time. So it's really not as bad as I put it all out there to be. Although, would I rather just be walking them than carrying stinky trash cans? Of course I would. But at least I'm able to define for myself what that experience is. Do you have that ability to define, or are you just trapped? You got to do the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. Again, I'm getting ready to travel. And, well, I always travel. I don't know what I'm saying. I've just been given the notice that we want to get a global entry pass. And so to have the day, to be able to take the day and say, you know what, I'm going to go mess with the U.S. government. Because I drove up there. They were an hour and 45 minutes late to get us in for the appointment we had set 5 days a week ago. And just to be able to sit there, relax, going, I'm not missing work. I don't have to worry. Just enjoy it, go through the process. We're going to get it done. We got it done. Then we went to eat a nice lunch and, enjoyed ourselves afternoon lunch. And then later that night we went out. I mean, that kind of control of your life where even something as disruptive as working with the U.S. government to get yourself an ID so you can get in and out of the country easily was not a big deal. And it could have been, right? Ignite your curiosity with projects. Boy, I tell you what, I've got a ton of them. That's one of my biggest problems. I have too many projects. And if I had to work constantly, I would have nothing. I would be miserable because there's so many things in life I want to do, even at 70 years of age. All right, let's take a short break. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing what would a perfect life look like. And how do you avoid living a life of quiet desperation? As we come into this last segment here, I want to remind you all that have just tuned in that I will be teaching my last seminar of the season, in July 11th and 12th. That's a Saturday and Sunday. There'll be a case study the night before on Friday night. You want to look us up, get set up for that. Come on in. There is a way to watch it online. However, man, you'll miss all the fun if you don't come and spend time personally. Because, you know, I'm not going to be around. I'm getting older. And, you know, we've got other people. There's going to be seminars forever. But not me. And if you want to come see me, 36 years of doing this, thousands of people, mega millions of dollars of real estate deals. And you get to spend that time with me. Spend 2.5 days with me. Come have a good time. All right, having said that, let's get back to this discussion of what a perfect life looks like. And the next one is unhurried pacing, living without the weight of constant artificial urgency. Boy, everything has urgency. The question is, how much of it's artificial urgency? Does it really matter? I'll tell the story about yesterday because I think that it was a good story. We got in the car to go up there to get our passes, global entry passes. Just if you don't know what that means, it means when you go in and out of the country, you don't have to wait in line at customs. You can just walk right through because you've got a pass. They know who you are. They've checked you out. They know you from, you know, head to toe. They've done all your legal work. They've got your picture, your ID, your fingerprints. They know everything about you, and they know that you're okay. So you pay to do this. It takes time to set this up. Not everybody has the time to do it or the money pay for it, but you do it, and then you just walk right through. It's a beautiful thing. You also get through the lines when you go on airplanes everywhere. You just be able to go right through. You don't have to stop, take your shoes off, go through all this stuff, you know, go through the magnetometer and all that. They just let you walk through. It's a different deal. So whatever, we went to do this, and so we got in our car, and we're driving up there, and she says, here, read this and tell me where we're exactly going. So I started reading the directions on how to get there. And then it said, okay, and be sure to bring this and this and this. And one of them was bring your passports. And my wife looked at me like, oh, you know what? We didn't bring the passports. So we had to turn around and go back to get the passports, right? And when we did so, it was such that I figured out the timetable. I looked it up and said, how long is it going to take us to get back there from getting home, going back home, getting the passports, and then going back, and will we get there in time? And we weren't going to get there in time. And on the thing it said, if you are more than 15 minutes late, they will not take you. They will turn you away, guaranteed, no exceptions, blah, blah, blah. You know, government legal jargon for get the F out. We're not going to take you because we're lazy and you're late and we're not going to let you get back in line or whatever. So we got there, and my wife was just adamant that, well, maybe they will. We'll just try. And she rescheduled her appointment to the only open appointment there was to like 2:30 in the afternoon, 2:20 or whatever. And mine was at 12:30. And we didn't get there till like 12:45, something like that. So I was past 12:30. Just see, I was supposed to be 12:30, 12:45, about almost 10 minutes to 1, whatever it was. And I got there, and I found the place. I said, well, I'm just going to sit and wait while my wife parks the car. She let me out so I could run in and register us. Well, you don't register. They've already got you registered. You just wait in a room, and they come out and call you, right? So I'm like, well, I'll just sit here because she's got an appointment. She will get in. I won't. I'll have to come back another day, set another appointment. So as I'm sitting there, guy comes out, and he goes, all right, we got anybody here from 1 o'clock? And 1:30, 1:15, and by the way, is there anybody here earlier than 1 o'clock? And I said, 12:30. He goes, okay, come stand in the front of the line. And just out of nowhere, I don't know what, this guy had a great day today. His wife kissed him on the cheek when he left. His dog loved him and hugged him. This guy just didn't sound like a government employee. He says, okay, just stand right there. I didn't ask him. I didn't beg him. He just said, yeah, just stand right there. Put me in the front of the line. So he goes, okay, 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:15, 1:20, 1:30, 1:45. Went right down the line, man. It was hilarious. I just shut up. I called my wife. I said, don't cancel my appointment, because she was going to cancel my appointment and try to reschedule me at another time. I called her on the phone because she hadn't got there yet. She was parking the car. It took her 20 minutes to park the car. She had to go to a parking lot and take a bus back. And I knew all that was going to happen, you know. So you got to get there 2 hours early to anything you do at the airport. So I called her. I said, don't cancel my appointment. They're letting me in. And so I got in. They did my thing. About the time they did mine, she got there. And then they let her in. And I thought to myself, you know, any other day, if I did not have the ability to say, I'm just going to go. I don't care. I got no place. I don't have to go somewhere today. I can go take the risk of going up there, at least get hers done. Maybe we'll come back another time. You know, the urgency factor, this massive fake urgency factor. We were just driving up there like, oh, my God, we missed it. The appointment is now. It took 2 weeks to get the appointment. It'll take another 2 weeks to get the appointment. Oh, my God. It's everything in life has this massive fake urgency to it. It just drives you nuts. Once you're financially free, you just don't care about that stuff. People go to work and everybody goes during the busy time. Everybody comes home during the busy time. I go after rush hour. I come home before rush hour or after rush hour. I just don't care. So the fake urgency's got to go away. Next, deep interpersonal connections. Choosing your inner circle, surrounding yourself with a few honest, uplifting friends. We get squished into who our friends are. I notice that when I talk to people, you go to a bar, and I go to restaurant bars and I sit at the bar because I like to talk to people. There's life's more interesting that way. And what I notice that almost everybody I meet is that the people they're with are somebody they know from work. Work tends to be the germination of almost all friendships. It's the only real connection people have with anybody. So if you want to have real friendships, you're going to have to buy your life back in corporate America. All right, remember, my seminar, July 11th and 12th, case study, the 10th, Friday night. Get there, Houston, Texas. Don't be square. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.